Thank you for downloading this podcast from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies. To download digital content, please visit lmod.pardes.org. Join us in Jerusalem this coming January 5th to 9th for our winter learning intensive titled The Many Faces of Me, Exploring Identity in a Postmodern World. We'll tackle tough identity questions through Jewish learning, conversation, and community building. For more information, visit pardes.org.il/WLI.
Okay, Aleichem. Why, if I telling you Shalom Aleichem and you answer, instead to answer to me Shalom Aleichem, you change the word and the answer Aleichem Shalom. Why you change the word? So if I telling you Shalom Aleichem, instead to say Shalom Aleichem, you send Aleichem Shalom. So Israeli answer is, if you telling me Shalom Aleichem, I have to answer to you opposite. ההפך זה נכון, ההפך אני אעשה, כן? שלום עליכם, עליכם שולם. This is the Israeli answer, okay? And the second answer is, Shalom is name of the God. And so, if I open with Shalom, which is name of the God, and the other close with name of the God.
תודה רבה, סליחה.
So, Shulam Aleichem, Aleichem Shulam. Okay, I open with name of the God, and the other close with name of the God, Aleichem Shulam, Shulam Aleichem, Aleichem Shulam, and we, both of us, created the circle. Open the circle and close the circle. Therefore, Shalom Aleichem, and Aleichem Shulam. Ah, it's a yofi. A couple months, even Rabbi Alex, my good friend from Agush, he contact with me, and he, you know, he told me, please come to here, to Pardes. Pardes is Kabbalah, or there is no Kabbalah, Pardes?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little Kabbalah. Okay. So this is my privilege to, actually, one of the reasons to come to here is to see you. but okay. Second privilege is to see you from all the world, and over you. You are all of you Jewish? Jewish? Are you sure you're Jewish? Because I'm not sure. Okay. Okay. A couple years ago, I visit in Washington, and now I took a taxi, and a taxi driver, he was African American. Okay? By the way, I disagree with this kind of views, African-American, because the people there, they American. And I don't understand why still they recognize themselves as American, African-American. They are American. Just imagine that if I recognize my identity here as Ethiopian-Israeli, I feel that I am 100 Israeli. Maybe in my generation, I'm Ethiopian Israeli, because it is true. I was born in Ethiopia, and I move, and I immigrant, and I make aliyah to Israel. So I'm Ethiopian Israeli. But what about the second generation? Second generation, which they were born here in Israel, they never been there in Ethiopia, and they don't know the language. And they feel Israeli. So why I should recognize them as Ethiopian Israeli? It's from my point of view, this kind of use African American. This is stupid. okay. He was African American. He saw me with my kippah. And he screamed, "My brother, where are you from?" And I answered to him like Ethiopian cute. Because here, I don't know why, when I meet someone, he used to tell me, "Oh, you are very cute." And I answered, how do you know that I am very cute? And he used to answer to me, because each Ethiopian is very cute. All Ethiopians, they're very cute. Yeah, of course, I'm very cute. I am sure that if the Messiah will be coming, must be Ethiopian. Must be. Because, you know, if the Messiah will be Ashkenazi, all Sephardi people say, no way. You are booz-booz. Dan Kishen petition. If the Mashiach will be Sephardi, Ashkenazim say, oy vey zmir. Avil lechai. Oy vey, Shvarze. So no way. So if the Mashiach will be Yemenized, no. No. First of all, Ramat Kal. If the Mashiach will be Russia, Agoshekop. No, no way. So the chase, the single chance, if we want the Messiah will be coming, must be Ethiopian. You know why? Because all Am Yisrael together, Reform people, conservative people, Orthodox, all of them say, so him, he's so cute. Baruch Hashem, going to be Mashiach. You are very cute. So I answer like Ethiopian cute. I am from Israel. He was in shock. Oh, really? There is a black people in Israel? And I answer, sir, I'm not black, I am brown. Maybe you're black, but I am brown. Okay? And suddenly he screamed again, say, oh, I hear about you. You are Falasha. Falasha is mean stranger. And I don't know why, but we in Ethiopia, we used to recognize us as a Beta Israel. Beta Israel is House of Israel. This is against Beta Christian. Beta Christian is House of Christians people. And Beta Israel is because we are descendants of Bnei Israel from the Bible. Okay? And we never use with Jewish. Yehudi, we never use in Ethiopia. Only Bnei Israel, Beta Israel. Okay? Like Bible, okay? Because in the Bible, there is no Jewish. There is only Beta Israel, Bnei Israel, okay? So, Beta Israel, and we use with Beta Israel, but the Christians, they call us Falasha, it means stranger. And they also believe that Ethiopian Jews, on the day we are human being, but at the night we change ourselves to animals and we eat someone non-Jewish. Okay, telling you from my experience, when I used to leave my village, Jewish village, only Jewish village, okay? In Ethiopia, it's only Jewish village. If according to Ethiopian halakha laws, if I say to non-Jewish, shalom, don't worry, you are Jewish, shalom, I immediately change to be impurity. So I need to go to the river. Therefore, all the villages of Ethiopian Jews, they established very, very close to the river. Okay, because all the day we are going to the river. Okay, going back. So, and they believe that we are, on the night we are human, but at the night, we change ourselves to animals. I remember from my experience when I used my village, someone, he wait for me in the corner, non-Jewish, and he calling me instead of my name, Zode, he called me like this, woo-woo, woo-woo, because he believe which we are animals. And how I answered to him? Africa. Okay, it's also stupid. Okay, this is also stupid. Just imagine that. If in Ethiopia people feel very foreign, stranger, lack of belonging, how the second generation which they live here, they still feel very foreign. They still feel non-belonging to this community. They still feel here in Israel more black, more than the Jewish. Just imagine that it's very, very hard to see the second generation which they were born here in Israel, and in one hand they feel Israeli, but the Israeli, they still recognize them as Ethiopian. Okay? Because I remember how my grandpa, he used to tell me, Zode, one day he opened the Bible, say, Zode, open Yishayahu, Navi Yishayahu. והיה ביום ההוא יוסיף אדוני שנית ידו לקנות את שעמו ישראל אשר יישאר ממצרים ומפטרוס ומקוש ומשנער ומחמת ומאיה הים ונשא נס לגויים ואסף לנכי ישראל. הנה הנביא צפניה מעבר לנערי קוש עטרי בת פוצה יובילו למנחתי יחזקל והבאתי וגאלתי וזרקתי עליכם מהם תורים. וואו, וואו, amazing. Well, be, סבא, סבא. Well, when will be this time, when God going to fulfill his dream, his promise by the, his prophets in the Bible? And my Saba, my grandpa, he used to answer to me, how? Now. Wow, great. Now, yes, now. When I grow up, I understood that also his grandpa promised to him, now. When I grow up more, I understood that each generation promise to the next generation now during 3,000 years of exile. Therefore, if Ethiopian telling you now, don't believe him. Okay. By the way, in Ethiopia, there is no, if you looking after no word, there is no word. Law. There is no word in the Bible. Dictionary. Yeah, in the dictionary. There is no. Because in Ethiopia, if someone telling you something, you say what? Yes. There is no. Yes. Even if you would never do it, say yes. Okay, because so therefore, if Ethiopian telling you yes, it mean maybe. If he telling you maybe it mean no. If he telling you no, this is a sign that he non-Ethiopian. anyway, so now. But therefore, don't believe to a big philosopher name is Nietzsche. He told us that the hope is illusion. Hope is not illusion. Hope is reality. כל עוד בלב הפנימה, נפש יהודי הומיה, עוד לא אבדה תקוותינו. Because each generation promised to the next generation, now, in Africa. And finally, this dream changed to be reality. And we are here, Baruch Hashem, in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. How Mark Twain wrote, the Egyptian, the Babylonian, and the Persian rose filled the plain with sound and splendor, then faded to dream stuff and passed away. The Greek and the Roman followed and made a vast noise, and they are gone. The Jew saw them all, beat them all things are mortal but the Jew. All other forces pass, but he remain. What is the secret of his immortality? We are here. And this, unfortunately, I see that this very big secret of Jewish people, it particularly Ethiopian, the secret was hope and dream. And I afraid that maybe the second generation here, Ethiopian generation, they lost the secret because they lost the dream and hope here in Israel. And it's very, very sad. And the question is how we can give them back this secret hope and future and dream in Israel. You know, until in 1970, actually, in 1973, Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, the chief rabbi, he decided to recognize Ethiopian as a Jew. Until 1973, no one, Ethiopian Jews, they can't came according law of return to Eretz Israel, because no one recognized us as a Jew. Only in 1973, and 1975, Knesset member, they decided to give us, mandate to come to Israel according law of return. In 1977, Prime Minister Menachem Begin, he told the Mossad, please bring my people to Israel. And we got the message. Therefore, we left everything, our village and our house. And don't be mistaken, because in Ethiopia we were very rich. And a lot of people, they think that, only in 1973 you changed to be Jewish. No, because Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, he recognized you as a Jew. Therefore, only in 1973 you changed to be Jewish. No, I am not a Jewish of Rabbi Ovadia Yosef. I am Jewish of the history. I am Jewish of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. I am descendants of Dan. But in the consciousness here in Israel, that only in 1973 we changed to be Jewish and we convert ourselves to Judaism. But no, it's a big mistake. I was all the time, Ethiopian Jews, they were Jewish all the time. But, you know, two years ago, I was asked a visiting scholar at Brandeis University. And a couple of people, they told me, I told them I'm Jewish. And they told me, but you don't look like a Jew. What's the mean I don't look like a Jew? I'm very cute. What's the mean I don't like a You know, define and determine how Jewish look like? Shtreimel? Oive Izmir? What? What's this? You don't look like a Jew. And, you know, actually, when we arrived to here, we see how Jewish in synagogue pray like this. You know, if in Ethiopia, you know, when we go into the synagogue, to the shul, and all people, they do like this. And say, what's this? Is this, you know, from, because you know what's this, how Jewish people pray, but for Ethiopian Jewish, when we, the first time to see all the people in synagogue, they do like this, and say, this is a bet mishugayim. Says I'm shigen a house like this, because in Ethiopia, if you see someone do it like this, you need to send to him immediately to the hospital. Okay, the problem is in Ethiopia there is no hospital. But you know what's this? Okay, what's this? You don't look like a Jew. But the other side, when the first Ashkenazi Jew, he came to visit us in our villages in Ethiopia in 1867. Professor Yosef Alevi, he sent by Kiach, Kol Yisrael Chaverim. The money come from a big, very rich, name is Rothschild. And he came to us, to our villages, and no one believed him, which Yosef Alevi is Jew. You don't look like a Jew. White people? No, no. You crazy? No. Yeah. So this is, and this is, you know, this is crazy. Yes, of course. This is our challenges today in Israel. This big, big challenge to recognize the others as a Jew in his way, in his particular neshama. And this is our challenges, especially in this time before, because Second Temple was destroyed because of this problem. Because no one gave to the other to the place. And we want to create a monolithic society. Monolithic, yeah? Yeah, monolithic society is crazy. It's not lo nachon. Anyway, therefore, we, you know, we here in Israel because we are Zionism, because we are Jewish. Because, no, there is, Ethiopian Jews in Africa, there is no food. So they just moved to here, and Israeli brought them here. No. Israeli brought? We came to here. No one brought us to here. Because kol od baleva pnima, lefesh yudi umia, we have a dream. So no one bring me here. No one brought me to here. You know, and this is, no. Of course, there is no food. Someone told me, you know, of course, you come to here because you just looking after a good life, Western world, here in Israel. In Ethiopia, there is no food, there is no electricity. And he told me a joke that three guys, which one of them is Israeli, and the second, he is American, and the third, he is Ethiopian. And they sit in the restaurant to eat something, and after 45 minutes, someone come to them, and he told them, sorry, we don't have any food. And the Israeli stand very angry, and he asked, what's the sorry? Maze sorry? Maze, lech mi po. And the American stand in shock, and he ask, excuse me, what's this we don't have? What is we don't have? And the Ethiopian ask in shock, and ask, what's this food? of course. There is no food. But we are, okay, we left our houses, our cows, all our money in Ethiopia, and we set out to the journey, and the journey took 2 months and a half. 2 months and a half, and we lost a lot of people in the way. And we arrived to Sudan. In Sudan, we were sure that a couple days later, we will be in Jerusalem, but this time continue until people, I do not exaggerate, but I want to tell you that people stay in refugee camp in Sudan until 7 years. Most of the people which they were died was in Sudan, about 4,000 people. A lot of people, children and all the kind. And my mom, Zichrona Livracha, she saw that a lot around her, a lot of children died. And she decided to save my life. Therefore, she sent to me by myself to Eretz Yisrael, to Jerusalem. And she told me, Machar Balayla, at the night, someone come, white people. They actually was, they were Mossad. Mossad, the civil service of Medinat Israel. And I was privileged to be advisor for the movie. Today, the movie will be my operation. My operation, my movie will be in Netflix today. Going to be in Netflix, yeah. Even today, yes, in Netflix. Name is Red Sea Divine Resort. Yeah. This is my aliyah, okay? And I was privileged to be advisor for this movie, and I told my story, okay? This is Hollywood movie, Hollywood. By the way, I brought you to here. This is Tehillim from Ethiopia. Okay, this is very, very old. And I told you that Ethiopian Jews, they used to know in Hebrew. This is a very, very ancient Hebrew, very ancient language. Name is Giz. And the letter, the word, is more close to the ancient Hebrew. Because the, we use with the words, Hebrew words, is not the ancient Hebrew which give us by Moshe Rabbeinu and Mount Sinai. Because this is very close to this letter. Okay, this is a question of authenticity. Okay, it's a question, who is authentic? Who is Jewish? You don't look like a Jew. Maybe you don't like a Jew. Okay, so this is Hebrew. And all the cover in Ethiopia, the books, is wood. Okay? So why I... And this is how do you say, cloth? Cloth? How do you...
Parchment.
Okay, this parchment. So I used to say this is like holy wood. Okay, this is wood and this is holy. So everything is a balance between holy and wood. So this is a movie. It's a Hollywood movie, and I just you can't see. You can't move. You can't see anymore. Anyway, I remember the Mossad. The Mossad came to us, and they took us at the night like the movie. I remember at one truck we were. How many people? We were 150 people in one truck, small truck, and they brought us to the Red Sea. And from Red Sea, they came from with ship, very big ship, and they took us to the Sharm el-Sheikh. And from Sharm el-Sheikh, they brought us by the airplane to Ben Gurion Airport. In Ben Gurion Airport, I remember we kissed the floor. All the people, they fall to the ground, and we kiss the floor. I remember when I tell my story in Ra'anana, there is a lot of American, and when I told them we protest ourselves and we kiss the floor, and some girl, she told she told me, "Hey, yes, aritzpa lo hayta melochlechet." Again, it's very dirty, and I told her, be relaxed, because they knew before we arrive that we're going to kiss the floor. Therefore, before we arrive, they clean the floor. Okay? Don't worry. Anyway, this time I got in the airport, they changed my name from Zode to Sharon. The problem is that no one told me that they changed my name. And only when I arrived to absorption center in Afula, I suddenly recognized that I got a new name, Sharon. I was very, very happy because I was very, very naive. Still, I'm very naive. I don't know. About, because in Ethiopia, everything is about. Okay, exactly, it means about, okay? But about, I was between 8 and 9. Very cute. Okay, between 8 and 9, and but when I arrived, my passport was there is 0000, okay, 000. And I remember when I arrived my first time to JF Kennedy, and they arrested me at the airport because one in the immigration he told me, "Sir, come to me and say, sir, any problem? Because your birthday 00. What's this mean? What's this? It's very, very stranger." And I answered, because I was born in Ethiopia. And they took me in small room, and they investigated me during 20 minutes. And I told them, "Listen, I was born in Ethiopia. We don't know when we was born. So sorry, 00. Now I live in Israel. I'm very cute." Everything. But and finally, he told me, "Ah, yes, yes, I understood. Okay, go away and say Baruch Hashem." But he was in shock in one thing. "Tell me, sir, when you celebrate your birthday?" And I told him, "Listen, sir, don't worry about me, because when I wake up each morning, the first thing that I do before Modani, yes, is open my passport. And I see in my passport 00, and I ask myself, maybe today is my birthday. So, sir, each day is my birthday. Okay. But today, Baruch Hashem, I changed from 00 to 13 August 1973. You know why? Because the joke is, it's crazy, because the joke is my wife, she was born in Switzerland. And she came Aliyah from Basel. And after our marriage, we went to the Switzerland embassy. They very, very yeke, like this. And we told them that we are couples. Therefore, okay. And they told me, because if you want to, in order to, how do you say, register to as a couple, you should bring us a couple of documents, like birth certificates. And I told them, sorry, but I have not a birth certificate. And they told me, if you have not the birth certificate, therefore you are not exist. But I am here. No way. And I pay $100 to my friend, and I told him, next time when you be in Ethiopia, bring me new birth certificate. And a couple months later, my friend, he called me, Sharon, mazal tov. Birth certificate. And they wrote 13 August 1973. I was born in 8 o'clock at the morning. Everything, yes. Everything was a mistake. Without one was true, my picture. Because they put in my picture, no, when I was a baby. My picture, temporary teacher, okay, from today, like as I see. They put it on the birth certificate in my new. And I give this birth certificate to the embassy, and they ask nothing. Yeah, Baruch Hashem, I have both born. So Baruch Hashem, I am the 19th, as the Yeshil Yom Hulet. But I never. I never celebrate birthday. Anyway, Baruch Hashem, I moved to absorption center, and when I arrived to absorption center, I arrived to boarding school in Afula, and couple months later, I got a message that all my family have died in Sudan. Now, you know, I told you that Ethiopian hope is. Even Ethiopian secret is hope and tikva, but I never lost. But to be as an orphan. I was very, very strong. And 2 years later, the head of this house, he called me, Sharon, immediately come to my office. And I went to his office, and I sit down, and he told me, listen, the message that you got 2 years ago actually was a mistake. And your parents and your family still alive, and they just came, they make Aliyah, the immigrant, in absorption, Moses operation, and they're waiting for you in absorption center, on Ora Akiva city. And when I went to meet them, it was amazing. When I pray today, Mechaya met him, I remember at this time. As be'emet she'yichyanu ve'kiymanu ve'yigyanu lazman hazeh. This is a miracle, Baruch Hashem. And I believe that this is a dream. This is a fulfill of the how God promised by his prophets, Anevi'im, that in one day, Baruch Hashem, I will gather my people from all the world, and I will bring them to Jerusalem. And Baruch Hashem, and this has happened. But I do not exaggerate. My journey here in Israeli society is more difficult and very harder, more than my journey from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. You know, someone told me, my rabbi in Agush, he told me a joke that someone, he dreamed, he went to sleep and he dreamed. In his dream, he saw that he go into the paradise In paradise, he saw great tzaddikim. They learn around the table and learn Torah. It's very bored here. I'm looking after action. And therefore, he decided to go to the Gehenom, hell. And the Gehenom was, wow, amazing. Scotch. I don't know. Hashish. Akol. Disco. Music. Yeah. Oh, akol. This is Metsuyan. This was only in dream. Now he wake up. And after 120, Me'asrim, he passed away. And now we arrive to the next world, reality. And I ask him, please, you have two options, paradise or Gehenom. And you can choose any, as you imagine, he remembered what he saw in his dream, and he decided to go to the Gehenom. And when he entered the Gehenom, immediately he began to got all the punishment that exists in the Gehenom. And he asked, What's going on? What happened? Oh! And he told him, listen, and they answered to him, the first time that you visit us, you was a tourist, and now you are Ole Chadash. Okay. Okay, to be a tourist is very, very nice, but to be Ole Chadash is not. I used to say that before I marry, I was Ole Chadash with my wife, and after marry, I was tourist. Before I marry, I was tourist, and after I married, it's like Ole Chadash. Okay. Anyway, this is a reality. It's not a dream. And to be, a lot of crisis. For example, electricity crisis. Technology. Okay. Everything was different. You know, for example, my first time I discovered I ate chocolate. I never ate chocolate before. My it's very, very sweet. And I ate, I don't exaggerate, all the time, chocolate. Because this reason, I tend to be brown. All the time, chocolate. And someone came to me and he told me, Sharon, you have a smell bad from your mouth. Because I ate chocolate, but no one explained to me to wash my teeth. And I learned how to slowly. Okay? I remember, Madricha, our Madricha, it's me, as a counselor, she explained to us how to open the tap water. And she opened it like this. And I answered, in Ethiopia, we are in shock. We used to say, Ara! When we can. I don't know, how do you say in Europe? Wow. Wow, it's amazing. Okay. And in Ethiopia, we say only, Ara! So, have one Ethiopian, he saw elevator open automatically, and he was also in shock. And say, Ara! Ara! What's this? Ara! And who opened the door? And he saw that the old woman go slowly, and she go into the elevator, and she disappear. And he say, Ara, Ara, help, Ara, Ara, Ara. And suddenly, a couple minutes later, the elevator opened, and instead of the old woman, now stand a young woman. And he say, Ara, what's this? And this is a miracle in Jerusalem. And he saw him, he ran to the observation center, and 5 minutes later, he came back with his wife. Please, go to the elevator. But I say, when she opened the tap water, say, Ara! Wow, the river come to your house. But she don't explain to us how to close. And the water throw out all the night. And the next day, I learned how to close the tap water. Okay? But someone told me, you brown. It means in Hebrew, it's cushy. It's not easy not to say. But in Ethiopia, I was better Israel. And they told me, you Israel. But why here you call me Cushi or Ethiopian. I am Jewish. Why you recognize me as Ethiopian or as black? Because I am a Jew. And one woman, she told me, here in Israel, you don't look like it. Why? Because you're Cushi. And she asked me question, stupid question. Sorry, this stupid question. It's very superficial questions. Okay, and I give her also superficial answer. Okay, in order to be intelligent, it mean in is inside. Leganos, intelligent, those come from Greek language. In is inside. Leganos in Greek is line. Line, okay, legal, it come from leganos. Therefore, to be intelligent is mean to be able to see between the line. And Nietzsche told us that 80% of human beings, they are not intelligent. Only 20%. And if someone told me you are not Jews because you don't look like a Jew, he is not intelligent. And I gave her answer, not intelligent answer, and I told him, you know why I'm a brown? Because in Mount Sinai, when God give us Torah, Ethiopian Jews, they know how to run very, very fast. And we run in and we stand very close to the Mount Sinai. First, therefore the fire and smoke from the mountain dark our skin. But you are Ashkenazi. Where you stand in Mount Sinai? Okay? Okay. So, anyway, you know, so you need to be very proud with you, with it. I knew that I am Jewish, 100%. And no one, bring me to be in doubt about my identity. I'm 100%. Okay? And I continue to the journey in here in Baruch Hashem. You know, have a joke that someone, it's a story about the Jew who was reading on the subway of New York City. He says a strange sight, a black man sitting and reading a Yiddish newspaper. Oive Izmir. In amazement, he asked why he was holding a Yiddish newspaper. The black man answered, I am a Jew. The Jew was silent for a moment and then said, I would imagine that it is hard to be both Jewish and black. After a moment of silence, black man says, that is why I do not tell anyone that I am black. Anyway, you know, this is very, very hard, but Baruch Hashem, I continue, because I believe myself. Because I believe this is a very, very secret in Eretz Yisrael. You need to believe yourself. If you feel inferior, if you feel a second class, if you feel stranger, if you feel black, like this, and you blame all the time the others, you stay in the same place. You never progress and begin the process in Eretz Yisrael. Because I learned that if you blame like this, one finger go to the others, and three finger go around you. Toward you, three fingers. Before you blame, ask yourself about what is your responsibility in your life. So I continue. I grow up. I arrive to Yeshivat HaRetzion. In Yeshivat HaRetzion, I have a dream to be an officer in the army. So I finish to be officer. Baruch Hashem, I finally to be zchut gedola meod to be officer in army in Eretz Israel. And later I came back to Yeshivat HaRetzion. I grow up and I finish to be ordained to be a rabbi in Eretz Israel, Baruch Hashem. And therefore, I was married, after my marriage, I went to be a rabbi in Ethiopian community to be in order to be a bridge between, because there is a lot of differences. Okay, if we time, we can speak a little about the differences between the Ethiopian religious tradition and between the what which exists in Orthodox today. And so when I arrived to Kiryat Gat city to be a rabbi in Ethiopian community, the rabbi there, which was Haredi, you know what's Haredi? Okay, he told me, please, I can't give you the job. And I asked why? And he told me, because you are not black enough. And I told him, but I am Ethiopian, look. And he told me, no, sorry. No, about your skin color. Your kippah, not black. And I was in shock. My kippah? Yes. And I said, if you recognize me, if I can be to my community a good rabbi, not good rabbi, according to my kippah, I don't want to be a rabbi here. And he told me, thank you very much, go. And I decided to go to a university, a second degree Talmud department in Bar Ilan, and later I continued to my PhD in Jewish philosophy. And this time I got a suggestion to be a rabbi. Now, this time I want to be a rabbi, not in Ethiopian community, in Ashkenazi community. Kedoshei Yisrael, which was established by Holocaust survivor, and now I am rabbi in Ashkenazi synagogue, in Ashkenazi community, Oyve Izmir, in Kiryat Gat community, and I want to close and later to give you to give ask me questions, but I just what I try to do here is that to be, and I believe that. That Ethiopian Jews, they can use a very meaningful role to be here a bridge. That they bring people from one side to the other side, and to bring them to be more close to the which the others, okay, between secular, Haredi. Between Reform people and Orthodox people, and between right and left, okay, and I believe that Ethiopian Jews can to be a bridge. It's very very important, and I believe that, and therefore I decided to write a book, Shulchan Aruch for Ethiopian Jewish community. The name is From Sinai to Ethiopia. Just last night. I got a message from someone I don't know. He called me, you are heretic. Heretic is Apikoros. You are heretic. Why you wrote this? And also the chief rabbi of Medinat Israel, he called me that I am heretic. You know, because I wrote this book and I asked an Orthodox rabbi, I allow to the Ethiopian Jewish community to continue with their minhagim, with their Ethiopian laws, which is very, very particular, okay? So how you can allow them to go with their commitment, with their minhagim, with the tradition, because it's very, very stranger for us, okay?
Which
chief rabbi, Ashkenazi
or
Sephardi? Yeah. Ashkenazi say, okay. Don't care, Ashkenazi for Ashkenazi, we are Vilde Chai. So they are, it's mean, yeah, Sfaradi rabbi. This is not easy. Just last night I got also like kind of message last night. You are heretic, you are crazy, you are, why you allow to Ethiopian Jewish community to go with this? But I believe that is the right way, okay? And Baruch Hashem, and this is bring a lot of people to conversation, okay? Ethiopian halacha, and k'nai nehore, this we slowly, k'nai nehore, slowly, we change my goal is to change the consciousness. And to change the consciousness of people, because the consciousness is very, very big jail. It's very, very big jail to change the consciousness. And I try to change the consciousness, our consciousness, by the books, one book, and the second book now is in Hebrew, but will be in English in 1 year, Bezat Hashem. Also, this conversation between about love and fear. And I believe that Israeli society is not racist. Israeli, there is a lot of fear, no racist. Okay, because I look at me. One day I was a child, and I didn't know how to open the tap water, and even I didn't know how to use in the bathroom. And today I am rabbi in Israel. I am professor in a university. So how I can blame Israeli society as a racist? This is the key to the successful is responsibility. So I want to stop here, and I want to give you answer questions. Maybe next time, אולי אני יכול לחלק להם אם תרצו. אז okay, go me please. Please.
Could you talk about?
Yeah, you can ask me question. Yeah. Listen, we have, this is a challenge not only between Israeli and Ethiopia. This is phenomenal that relevant to each group here in State of Israel. You know, 2 years ago we have a research and they ask Israeli, non-Ethiopian, how many of you spoke with Ethiopian, but no short conversation, very deep conversation. And only 8% of Israeli non-Ethiopian, they answered that they spoke with Ethiopian, only 8%, okay? So 92%, they never met Ethiopian Jews here, okay? Here in Israel. But I can ask same thing against Haredim. How many of you met Haredi people? How many of you met Arab people? How many of you speak with Ashkenazi in small and right? Okay, how many of you? Because there is this very, very small country. But unfortunately, we need to create an opportunity to meet each other. And there is no conversation. It's very, very important. And more of the Ethiopian Jewish, they live in one place, like ghetto. You know what's ghetto? Ghetto, yes? Yeah, like ghetto? How do you say ghetto? Like ghetto. It's not good. Just last week, I was in Netanya, and all the neighborhood, Ethiopian. So from my opinion, we need to, how do you say, lefazer?
Spread out.
Spread out. Spread out over the Eretz Israel. So this also. And of course, there is a responsibility of the government to do something. But they do a lot of sin. But at the bottom line, from my experience, from my my journey in Eretz Israel, the real key to successful is responsibility. If you believe yourself, and you're proud of yourself, and you're very strong yourself, so you can do anything what you want. Okay? But there is a lot of challenges. And the government do a lot of things, and the also Ethiopian Jews. So, but this is the problem is not Ethiopian problem. This is the problem of Israeli society to do something, how to create it and develop a deep conversation with the other people. Thank you. Ken. Yes. In Africa?
Yeah.
No, only Ethiopian Jews, they never, there is no connection, interaction between Ethiopian Jews and the other Jews.
How
come? How, why?
Because if you think about,
No, listen.
Australian American Jews or,
You mean African Jews?
Yeah, do the Jewish community is,
No, Ethiopian Jews... We were only Ethiopian Jews. We don't believe that, okay? We never hear about the other Jews, okay? Never. Today, there is groups in Africa that they say we are Jews, but Ethiopian Jews, they are the single group that they descendants that they claim that they are descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, but a lot of the other African Jews, they claim that they discovered Judaism about 300 years ago or something like that. Okay, but Ethiopian Jews, they are descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But there is no connection. Today, maybe yes, but once no. Okay, yes. Still Jewish, most of the Jewish, they moved to here, most of the, even all of them. But now they have another group, which they were convert themselves from Jewish to Christianity. And now they also want to come back to Judaism. So have now here argue, is the Jewish, not Jewish? Okay, but most of the Jewish, they move already to Eretz Israel.
Can you tell us about specific Ethiopian traditions?
Yeah. Oh. Specific. Okay.
One of those.
We are, first of all, we are very cute. okay. If I give you here in number five, here in the source hand, how do you say? Daf Mekorot.
Source
sheet.
Source
sheet. Yeah, and source. Okay.
Source sheet.
Ah, source. Okay. Number five. Okay. Number five. Daniel ben Hanina was the first Ethiopian to be here in Eretz Israel. The first Ethiopian in 1855. Pay attention. In 1855, the first Ethiopian he came to Israel. And the rabbinate here, they wrote a letter and they sent to spiritual leaders in Ethiopia this letter in number five. Okay, if someone can, Rabbi, go ahead, can read that for us.
Five.
Yeah.
Your condition has touched our hearts and we have decided on the following steps. When Daniel ben Hanina returns to you, assemble, listen and learn from him what he saw here. And how we observe the commandments of God according to the tradition of our sages of blessed memory. If you reach the conclusion that you have not been behaving the right way until now, choose three or four capable people, send them to us, and let us teach them in a practical way the proper way to perform the commandments.
And number six, continue, Rabbi. This is a response of Ethiopian Jewish community.
Since we have heard that there are many Jews in Egypt and in Jerusalem whose religion and customs differ from therefore, it behooves you to send intelligent people to us, and we shall teach them the principles of the religion of Israel and our custom with us, and let us show you the right way to go.
If there is any doubt about our Judaism, this answer improves that we are Jewish. Okay, so I give you a couple of, for example, when we arrived to here, the rabbinate told us to convert ourselves again. Okay, and do even a little circumcised, a little. Okay, the symbol is good. But I make a brit milah, circumcise myself when I was 8 years old. Eight days old. Okay, no, 8 days old. And you know who did me make me brit milah, circumcise me? In Ethiopia, my grandma. In Ethiopia, there is no mohel. The woman make milah. The woman used to make the brit milah. So my grandpa, she make me brit milah. Okay. When I told here to the people, my grandma, she was a mohelet. People in shock. You crazy? And I used to answer, no, I want to tell you a secret. She did a good work. Okay. Don't worry, you know, because Ethiopian halakha based on the Bible, not on the Talmud. And all the our thought and philosophy perceive, yeah, is tfisa, perception. The perception is the Bible perception. No Talmud perspective. So there is two categories. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies. To download digital content, please visit elmod.pardes.org.